Now turn to the 33rd chapter of Ezekiel. Chapter 33 and page 876 in your Scofield Bible. Verses 7 through 9, these three verses. And let's just read the verses in unison. There's just three of them, so ready. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. Let's pray. Father, for our church, for all the many wonderful people that we meet here, and for the fellowship, for the songs, and for all the special things that we experience here. But of course, the real reason we're here is to hear your word, hear it preached, and we pray that thou wouldst bless now. We've read from your word, now we get to hear it preached. Bless it to our hearts, to our use, that many might be helped. And bless and anoint our preacher in Jesus' name, amen.
When God mentioned something twice in the Bible, it must be very important. You know, it's awful hard to get things in the Bible. There's so many things to get in just these few pages, until when God decides to put something in twice, it must be very, very important. Twice we have this same little statement that God made to Ezekiel. He said, Ezekiel, I've made you or set you as a watchman on the wall. Now he said, in so many words, he said, if you warn the man and who's in sin, if you warn him and he turns from his sin, then you've been faithful and you'll save a soul from death. But he said, if you don't warn the man, if you do warn the man and he doesn't turn from his sin, then you have washed your hands of his blood and thou hast delivered thy soul. But he said, if you do not warn the man about his sin, then he shall die in his iniquity, and his soul will I require at your hand. Now, I don't believe this is talking basically about the unsaved. I think it's talking about Ezekiel preaching to God's people concerning their sin. I think God is saying, Ezekiel, if you young people are living like animals and heathen and necking and petting and having premarital sex, now, warn them. If they listen to you, then you've helped them. And if they don't listen to you, at least you've delivered your soul and you've washed your hands of their blood. And if you don't warn them, then their blood will I require at your hands. I'm not going to finish preaching here in First Baptist Church. When I preach my last sermon and walk out of this pulpit for the last time, I'm not going to conduct myself in this pulpit while I'm here, so that I'll have your blood dripping off my hands when I face God. If you want to live in your sin, you do it. But I'll guarantee you one thing. I'm going to remind you about it while you're here. I can't keep you from living in sin, but I dead sure can see you have a guilty conscience while you do it. And young folks, enough talking and laughing back there. You listen to what I'm saying tonight. I'm dead serious about this. When I'm talking about sin, I don't want any snickering. You snicker when I hold up the word snicker here on a cardboard. But when I'm talking about young folks having premarital sex, I don't want anybody snickering. If you want to have an emotion, you cry about that. But don't you snicker when I mention premarital sex. I'm saying that I can't, you think you're God. No, I'm not God, and I can't control your lives, but I dead sure can do one thing. When you stand before God, you won't put a bloody finger out of hell or a bloody finger at the judgment seat at me and say you didn't tell me what was right and what was wrong. Everybody in this church knows what's right and what's wrong. And I've stood here for going on 23 years. And my convictions are the same tonight they were 22 and a half years ago when I walked in this pulpit. I've not changed. I think what was wrong then is wrong now. I preached against smoking then. I preach against smoking now. I preached against the theater then. I preach against the theater now. I preached against Hollywood and Broadway then. I preach against Hollywood and Broadway now. I preach that men ought to get haircuts then. I preach that men ought to get haircuts now. I preach that ladies ought to wear modest clothing then. I preach that ladies ought to wear modest clothing now. I preached against mixed bathing then. I preach against mixed bathing now. And if you're hanging around till I change, you've got a long wait. Long, long wait. And so I want to talk tonight on the subject, why not quit? Why not quit? I'm going to tell you something about my own feeling about that, and maybe you can apply it to your own job that God has given you to do also. Now, the other day, I had a person to ask me this question. They said, Brother Hiles, do you ever just want to throw in the towel? When faithful people disregard your preaching, I mean Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night people come and disregard your preaching, you ever just wish you could throw in the towel? Ever feel like you're preaching not doing any good? And by the way, I want everybody to hear me. I want the kids back here in this section to freeze and not say another word. I want you to hear me. I'm a little tired of some of you kids popping off at some adults back there. If I ever hear find out who it is, I'll pop off right in your nose. I'll guarantee you for sure. This last week, a man sat back there and asked a young punk, to be quiet. And the young punk said, I won't be quiet. He said, won't you hush? He said, no. I've got more respect for a pimp than I've got for you. And I want you to hear me now and hear what I've got to say. They said, for the Hiles, when you're faithful people, Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night people, even some Sunday school teachers and maybe even some deacons disregard some of the things that you preach, don't you want to quit? When young people continue to visit movie houses, by the way, I want to say this. Any one of you that watched that movie, 10, was on television, prime time the other night, if you watched it, you ought to be on your knees at this altar asking God to forgive you before you go home. And don't you snicker when I say that. The thought of a child of God feasting his eyes on that kind of garbage and filth is repulsing to anybody that's decent and right. And what in the world do you think this country's coming to if the best church in America has members that sit home and watch that kind of garbage and that kind of filth? I don't know what the other movie was, but there's another one last week. It was on Wednesday night. And if you watch that kind of thing, then you ought to be on your knees at the mourner's bench. If you're a deacon, you ought to get right with God or get off the deacon board, one or the other. And if you're on the staff, you ought to get right with God or get off the staff, one or the other. And if you teach a Sunday school class, what kind of testimony is that? And what kind of testimony is it for young people to watch that kind of garbage on television? I'm saying, but you preacher, you say, when folks go ahead and watch that kind of stuff, does it make you want to quit? When parents leave the television on, when adulterous movies are ruining the minds of their children, does it make you want to quit? When smart addicts call Hiles Anderson College student hackers, and brother, if you haven't got any more sense than that, keep your mouth shut. Don't put your mouth in gear, your mind's working. And for you to call, and I'm not kidding about this, I'm dead serious. I'm tired of little punks looking at dedicated Christians and said, a bunch of hackers, you just shut your chops. You have no right to do that. You have no right to make fun of people who are sincere and trying to serve God. If you can't say anything good, learn some good words before you talk. That's wicked. That's vile. And God have mercy on that kind of language. And if anybody says it to you, tell him to shut up. Shut his chops. Don't you dare call. That's a disrespectful word to call the best college on the face of God's green earth. And by the way, I'll defend the high school when folks call it something bad too. But there's nothing that stirs me anymore than for somebody to take a ministry that I have sweated and bled for through these years, and we've sacrificed, you and I have, to make it a reality, and then some little punk to call hackers. You say, preacher, when they do it, don't you want to quit? No, I don't want to quit, ever. But don't you want to quit when a child goes to Hammond Baptist for 12 years, then gets out and graduates, and within 6 months looks like an Airedale Terrier when he walks down the street? Don't you want to quit when young girls go to schools for 12 years and then they graduate and you can't tell whether they're girls or boys when they walk down the street? Don't you want to quit when First Baptist young people are seen in Lover's Lane and girls are pregnant before they get married. Don't you want to quit when ladies who know better exhibit their thighs for the lustful eyes of the opposite sex to examine? Don't you want to quit when you say to the college people, don't quit, don't quit, don't quit, don't quit, and college students join the ranks of the washed outs and the dropouts and go home in shame and disgrace and failure? Don't you want to quit when young people with every privilege that a young person can have, and if you don't turn out right in this situation, then you couldn't turn out right in any situation, I'll guarantee you. We've done everything in the world we can. I want every teenager to hear me now. Listen to me, kids. Put your eyes on me. We've done everything in God's heaven, under God's heaven, to see to it that you have a chance to be decent and right and good citizens and clean and moral and pure. And heavy, heavy hangs over your head if you don't turn out right. You say, preacher, don't you want to quit when they disappoint you? And people that you've given every privilege sit in service after service and don't even hear one word the preacher says. Don't you want to quit? Don't you sometimes want to quit? No, sir, no, sir, no, sir. I never think of quitting. Never do. I mean that. I never think of quitting. Not either. It doesn't enter into my mind to turn back or quit. Never, 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 never does it. I was out in Washington State this week and the preacher said, is it true that you said you're going to travel just 2 more years on Mondays and Tuesdays and try to stir preachers across this country and then sit back and let somebody else do it for a while? I said, no, no, sir. I may only travel 2 more years, but that's because I'll be in heaven after 2 years. No, sir. I'm not going to turn back. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. And I'm not going to quit. I don't want to quit. I'm not going to quit. I'm not about, one fellow said, I heard you're resigning your church and retiring. So that you can go out and spend all your time preaching on the road. First place, it's dangerous to preach on the road. I shouldn't have said it. I shouldn't have said it. I shouldn't have said it. But the truth is, I can't retire. When you make as little money as I've made here through these years, you haven't saved enough to retire. No, sir. No, sir. You're not going to get rid of me that easy. You're going to have to throw me out to get rid of me. I'll guarantee you. I'm not quitting. No, sir. Well, you get discouraged. Yes, you get discouraged sometimes. You get disappointed. Yes, you get disappointed. Do you ever weep because people don't listen to what you say and practice what the Bible says? Yes, I do. But I never think about quitting. Every once in a while, some preacher says to me, well, I just think I'll throw in the towel. Well, then, brother, if you're going to throw it in, don't pick it up again. I'm saying, no, never think about quitting. Never do. You say, why? Now, I'm going to give you 5 reasons tonight in a very simple little sermon why it never enters my mind to quit. Reason number one, thank God, some listen to me. Thank God there's some that listen to me. There are still some girls in this church that get married, and on their wedding day, their lips have never touched the lips of a member of the opposite sex. And I want to say it again. You laugh and snicker all you want to. You sit there and watch that dirty box in your house and watch that filth and garbage where Hollywood starlets hug and kiss and embrace and do everything but commit adultery on the screen, and you know what's going on. And you sit there and watch that thing, of course you're going to kiss somebody before you get married. But I want to thunder out tonight and say that a decent young lady ought not to have a young man's lips touch hers until they touch her lips at the altar. You say you're old-fashioned. Yes, and it's about time you got old-fashioned. Decency is old-fashioned, and right is old-fashioned, and this book is old-fashioned, and God is old-fashioned, and salvation is old-fashioned, and purity is old-fashioned, and honest is old-fashioned, and this country's dying tonight for the need and want some old-fashioned purity, and decency, and chastity, and honor, and integrity. And I'll say it again. You ought not to have your lips touch the member of an opposite. Oh, you say, Brother Hiles, you're a fuddy-duddy. You're rolling eyes. As I've seen 3 times in the last 2 weeks, young ladies that sat in this audience and said, you're an ignoramus is what you are. Oh, you say, preacher, everybody does it. I don't care if everybody does it. I'm still going to preach what I believe is right, what I believe is true. Now, you listen to me. We have been influenced far too much by this Hollywood society of ours. We have let this loose society influence us, but thank God, I'm going to keep on doing it, preaching it, because some folks listen to me. There are young men tonight in this room with a dozen. Listen, there are more pure, single young men in this room tonight than in any other room in this world tonight. there are more sweet, chaste, virgin young ladies in this room tonight than any other room. Now, I know we have some that sell your body for a bowl of soup like Esau of old did. I know we have some that set out your decency and set out your parents' dreams for you and set out your family name and set out your purity and set out that which is most precious for less than the 30 pieces of silver for which Judah sold out our Lord. But blessed be God, you mark it down, we've still got some squares in First Baptist Church of Hammond. And we've still got some straight folks in First Baptist Church of Hammond. And we still have some pure young ladies in the First Baptist Church of Hammond. And we still have some clean young men in the First Baptist Church of Hammond. The other day a young person came to me. You can't be a young man and be clean in 1981. And I said, that's the devil's lie. You can be clean. You can be pure. And I challenge you again like I've done before. I challenge every one of you kids. Every one of you kids, I challenge you, when you walk down this aisle here, if you don't believe in preaching on the Lord's Supper table, then don't ever do it. When you walk down the aisle here, and you stand right here and walk up here to this altar, and you reach out and give your arm to a young lady, that young lady God has chosen for you, that young lady has a right not to take an arm that's hugged every old gal in the senior class. That young lady has a right to have a pure arm, a arm that has been saved. That young lady has that right. And when you walk down this aisle, young lady, and you give your arm to take a young man's arm, you look at him and you say to him, I'm pure, I'm clean, I'm decent, I've saved myself for you. And if you're going to come down here an adulteress and a harlot, and unchaste and impure, don't you walk out that door in a white gown. You get a polka dot gown and a dot for every night you spent in Lover's Lane. Have somebody throw mud on you. That gown represents chastity. That white gown represents purity. And it's time the young people of First Baptist Church realize there's a God in heaven who still intends for you to be decent and pure and right. And if not a single one of you ever listens to me, I'm going to keep on preaching it. Don't you think you're going to quit? No, I'm not going to quit. Because thank God there's some who still believe what I preach. I know. Even at Hammond Baptist High School, some sorry punks say, you're too square. How don't you shut your backslidden, wicked, godless mouth? Anybody that's clean is not square. Anybody that's pure is not square. Anybody that doesn't cheat on tests is not square. I thank God there's some who still believe it. There's some who still practice what is preached from behind this pulpit. And time after time after time, I stand in this room right here, and a young man will look at me and say, preacher, in a few minutes, I'm going to kiss my bride. And I want you to know, and we've waited till marriage, and that kiss will be the first kiss. Boy, I like it when their kiss is a little peck. I don't like it when they kiss at the wedding like they've been to France for a refresher course. You visitors say, preacher, do you preach like this all the time? No, I get a little rough sometimes. But I'll guarantee you, as long as this preacher's behind this pulpit and he has a mind that is not senile, I'll guarantee you, you'll hear more sermons like this. And I'll guarantee you this too. You've got to face your God, young people and adults. You've got to face your God. It is appointed a man once to die, and after death, the judgment. The Bible says that everybody shall stand before God and the books will be opened. And those books will contain your life, your deeds. In God's dear name, there needs to be a holy fear of a just and mighty God. I'm not going to quit because, thank God, some listen. There are more young people preaching tonight while I'm preaching. There are more young people preaching who've gone out from this church, who've grown up here, than from any other church in the world. I say this honestly, sincerely, and yet with sincere humility. You will not know a preacher alive tonight who has as many of his converts in the pulpits of our land and around this world as Brother Hiles does. I know what I'm talking about. We have more preachers' wives, and I'm not talking about Hiles Anderson graduates now. I'm talking about local Hammond Calumet people. I'm saying, I'm not going to quit. No, sir. No, sir. Because, thank God, some still listen. Number two, I'm not going to quit because if nobody listens, I'm still pleased to wash my hands of the blood of those that don't hear me. I have sitting on my desk right now, a letter written from one of our young ladies who goes to Hammond Baptist High School, talking in that letter about the movie that she attended, a lustful, probably a PG or an R-rated movie, that she attended and has the first name of another young lady, female, who went with her, asking the person to whom she wrote the letter if she would go to a movie with her, and it was a lustful kind. That's all they make anymore, a lustful kind. And those young ladies, all of them, either did last year or do this year attend Hammond Baptist High School. When you stand before God Almighty, heavy, heavy, and by the way, this time he got scared of God again. You stand before God Almighty, heavy, heavy is going to hang over your head. God did not make your eyes to feast on camera, on film like that. God did not make your feet to walk into places like that. God did not make your hands reach out and pay for things like that. God did not make your ears reach out and listen to things like that. God did not make your body to feel the passions your body feels while you watch stuff like that. Your hands are God's hands. Your eyes are God's eyes. Your ears are God's ears. Your feet are God's feet. Your body is God's body. How dare you take a redeemed person and take him into a place like that? I'm saying, it's time he got scared. And you go ahead and watch that garbage and sit there in front of your television set and watch 10 and all the rest of the lustful movies. And I want to say this, it's just as bad to sit in your family room or living room and watch it as it is to sit in a theater building and watch it. Sound like you're a preacher. You haven't gotten a choice when you come here. None at all. You say, we'll fire you, and I'll start a church across the street. I'll start me a tent. I'll guarantee you one thing. My hands are washed. Go ahead. Disregard what's preaching behind this pulpit. But I'm washing my hands, and you know it's true. Go ahead and continue to visit your movie houses. Go ahead and leave the television set so adulterous movies can ruin the minds and hearts and lives of your children. Go ahead. Call Hiles Anderson College students hackers and show your ignorance by other ways also. Go ahead. Go to Hammond Baptist for 12 years and end up a young man looking like an Airedale Terrier. Go ahead, young ladies, and get pregnant before you get married. Go ahead, First Baptist young people, and go to Lover's Lane and park. But you won't point a bloody finger one day at me and say, preacher, you didn't warn us. You won't do it. Because I have washed my hands for 22 and a half years, and you know it's the truth. My hands are washed. No young lady will come to my office looking through swollen eyes, as I've seen 3 times in the last 2 weeks. Young ladies that sat in this audience and sat in this building and disregarded what I preached from this pulpit and gone with the wrong crowd. 3 times I've seen them look through swollen eyes and bruised lips and say with a broken heart and tears dropping down on my sofa, preacher, he beat me so much I can hardly see through my eyes. I don't say I told you so, but bless God, they know I told them so. I want to say this. If nobody listens to a word I say, there is a great joy in saying it. Ezekiel preached to people that had words like briars, hurl stones at him while he preached. John Wesley preached in church after church. Read his biography sometime, his diary. He'll say, Sunday morning, June 2nd, priest in St. George's was told never to come back. Sunday night, June 2nd, priest in St. Jude's was told never to come back. Sunday morning, June 9th, preached in St. Joseph's, was told never to come back. Sunday night, June 9th, preached in St. James's, was kicked out in the street. Sunday morning, June 16th, preached on the street corner and was stoned off the street corner. Sunday night, June 16th, preached on the street corner and was kicked in the neighborhood and was stoned and hated and kicked out. And then he'd say, Sunday morning, June 23rd, preached out in the country. 20,000 came and 4,000 got saved. He stood there on the grave of his own father, using his own dad's tombstone as a pulpit, with stones beating his face and blood streaming down his cheeks. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? No, I must fight if I would gain. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. I'll let this building go down in a tornado. I'll close the doors of Howells Anderson College. I'll shut the doors and lock the doors of Hammond Baptist High School before I'll dip my sails to this modernistic playboy philosophy and let our kids go to hell without me standing up and being a watchman on the wall for our young people. You won't. You can go ahead. Live like you want to live. But you won't come back to my office divorced with a child or ear, as four young ladies have done in the last 3 weeks. Young ladies that I warned, young ladies that I preached like I'm preaching tonight to again and again, waved the flag and said, young people, sin does not make you happy. Sin does not make you happy. Sin does not make you happy. And they've gone their way and disregarded the truth that's been preached from behind this pulpit. And I've had four of them in the last 3 weeks come back, divorced. Little child beside them or children beside them. Hearts broken. Marriage on the rocks. Lives wrecked and ruined. No income. No jobs. My heart goes out to them, but blessed be God. Not a one of them can point a finger at me and say, preacher, you didn't warn us. The Bible still thunders out, sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. Sin before it is finished bringeth forth laughter. Sin before it is finished bringeth forth fun. Sin before it is finished bringeth forth excitement. Sin before it is finished bringeth forth delight. Sin before it is finished bringeth forth a lot of joy. But sin when it is finished bringeth forth death, and sin will be finished. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap, thunders out the word of God. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And that's not talking about lost souls going to hell. That's talking about saved people living in sin are going to die. My Bible says, she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Young man, they come back to my office a slave to narcotics. His body a vegetable. His dreams shattered on the pavement of lust. His hopes spoiled and ruined. His plans gone awry. He may come to my office trembling and saying, preacher, what can I do? As they do so often. What can I do? Preacher, I didn't listen to you. What can I do? I received a letter from a young man that graduated from our high school last year. That young man didn't believe me. That young man did not live with the message that's preached from this pulpit. This week, I got a letter. He said, Brother Hiles, please, 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 please tell the young people I said listen to you. Those young men cannot point their fingers at me and say, you didn't warn us. My hands are washed. No parent who left his television open, is unfaithful to church, can point his finger at me and say, preacher, you didn't warn us. No broken-hearted couple will come to my office, their lives wrecked and ruined. No young lady will carry with her in her mind, as long as she lives, the awful, awful feeling that little baby that calls me mama is an illegitimate child.
conceive before he got married. No other lady's going to have that feeling. And I'll tell you, they come to my office, Doc. They come by the dozens and tell me, Brother Hiles, I've had five this week to say, we feel guilty when we make love to each other. Because in our home, there's a constant reminder of what we did before we got married. Not a one of those young couples can point to me and say, Preacher, you didn't warn us. Not a one of them. Oh, you say, Preacher, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to neck and fet a little while, lover's lane. Yeah, but you on the road to that, and most of you not going to stop before you get there. No. Buddy, when I lay this Bible down, and I preach my last sermon behind this pulpit, and these lips will no longer carry the message, and this voice will have been preached out. Over 32,000 sermons now have come from this old throat of mine. When I walk from this pulpit the last time, and a pulpit committee is appointed, because Brother Hiles is in heaven, or Brother Hiles is unable to fill the pulpit anymore, I'll guarantee you one thing. I will maybe not have been listened to, but I will have washed my hands of your blood. I have been a watchman on the wall. That's what it says here. It says, when you see the people sin, warn them. We got enough of this Norman Vincent Peale power positive thinking stuff. We got enough of this possibility thinking. We got enough robe-wearing, pussy-footing, ear-tickling, back-scratching, penny-pinching, nickel-nipping, soft-soaping, pink-tea lemonade, rose-water preaching. We got enough fellas dressed in robes and kimonos and nightgowns preaching. We have enough little pussy-footers setting up and tickling the ears. We need somebody to thunder out the message. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. If I am heard any preaching like this, well, then get in the right kind of church. By the way, that goes to you sailors back there. You know better now. You may not have known better to PX last week that beer was wrong, but you know better now. And you may not have known last week that going to that house of prostitution was wrong, but you know better now. Somebody said, oh, but Brother Hiab, you can't be clean and be in the service. That's the devil's lie. There's a third reason why I don't plan to quit. And that is, the less you listen to me, the more you'll need me pretty soon. If you knew, young people, adults, if you knew what I know about the crowd that's loose and how they turned out, you'd listen to what I'm preaching tonight. You go ahead, but you'll be back. You'll be back. It may not be to my study, but it'll be to some preacher's study. You're back. And they come back. They come like an army on the march. Those that didn't believe me. Those that sat in church and wrote notes. Those that skipped out during invitation time. Not caring whether souls go to heaven or hell. Far as you're concerned, let everybody burn in hell. You're not concerned about seeing them walk the aisle and get saved. You'll be back. You'll be back, little lover's lane, sweetheart. You'll be back, Don Juan. You'll be back. Yeah. You're coming back. Because you're going to come to the end of your line. The more liquor that's sold, the more broken hearts are going to be. The more broken homes. That's why I'm not quitting. If you don't listen to a word I say, I'm not quitting, because you're going to need me after you go on out and you sin. Don't do that now in the service. Folks need to hear the sermon behind you too. The more people drink liquor, more cars are in lover's lane, more young folks that watch Love Boat. Anybody in this room that's watched Love Boat is an altar where you ought to be kneeling before you go home tonight. Whatever happened to fundamentalists that were decent? More folks that have illicit sex. More folks that go to nightclubs and discos. The more I'm needed. So listen to me now. If you don't listen to me now, I'll be in the office. I'll be waiting for you. I'll be waiting for you, teenagers at Hammond Baptist High School that call Hiles Anderson students hackers. I'll be waiting for you. You'll be back. Back with a life that's wrecked and ruined. Back wanting to serve God, but it's too late much to serve. All you can do is take the leftovers and do what you can for Jesus. You're coming back. And that's why if not a single person in this room believes what I preach. And by the way, God didn't call me to a popularity contest. I have even read Mr. Carnegie's book on how to win friends and influence people. That's not my job. My job is giving you a warning before you plunge headlong toward the destruction of your life. So I'll be around. No, I'm not quitting. I'm not quitting because, thank God, some listen. That makes it worthwhile. Brother Claire, if God had told me 37 years ago this next month, when God called me to preach, if God had told me that night that I had preached for 37 years and only one person would have gotten saved, just one person would escape the fires of hell forever, if just one person would go to heaven and walk on golden streets and live with Jesus forever, if God had told me that night, just one person in 37 years, I'd have said, I'll be glad to spend my life that way. I'd rather spend my life keeping one person out of hell than spend 5 minutes getting more money to put in the bank and making my balance sheet look better. If I had known that night, and God called me 37 years ago this next month, if I had known that night that my ministry would have had just one young person who would have had a decent life and a clear conscience, someday to be a decent citizen and decent servant of God, whether as a layman or a preacher. If I had known that's all I'd have had for 37 years, I'd have said, Lord, let's get on with it. Let's get on with it. I'm not quitting because some listen. I'm not quitting because I'm washing my hands. And I have. I'm not quitting because you'll soon need me again. And I'm not quitting because folks don't live by my preaching, because the less you live by it, the more you need it. And the more you need me now. What this country needs? This country needs everybody that calls himself a preacher to preach the sermon I'm preaching tonight next Sunday morning. That's what this country needs. Old Dr. Bob Jones used to say, there's nothing wrong with this country. Couldn't be cured by 8 weeks of preaching on hell. No, I'm not quitting. Why? Because if you don't listen now, it's still taking root. I may not can keep the thighs of you females covered, but I can dead sure let you hear me echoing this sermon while you strut yourself down the street and advertise your merchandise. You say, I'm not trying to sell myself. Then why do you advertise? You don't wear your shorts to the glory of God. You don't get on your knees and say, oh, what should I wear today? And the Lord says, wear some shorts. No. You don't go to your mother and dad and say, Mom, I've been praying about this, and the Holy Spirit's led me today to wear a halter. You don't do that. Some of you folks have visitors tonight. And you say, I bet they won't come back. God didn't call me to bring them back. God called me to preach the truth while they're here. But you say, Brother House, I go to another church and my preacher doesn't agree with you. Well, he's probably been wrong on a few other things, too. But if he doesn't agree with the thing I've said, all I've said tonight in this pulpit, then you're in the wrong church. It'll take root. Young man sat over there a few weeks ago in the waiting room. I went out in the waiting room. Young man that is that high. He came to my office with his mom and dad when he was that high in our schools. Sat over there, a vegetable, liquor, dope, wrecked his life. Got to have it. stood there and trembled just like that. He said, Brother Howe, he said, I've got to have it. I can't live without liquor. I can't live without dope. I've got to have it, preacher. I've got to have it. He looked at me with a crazed look, and he said, but preacher, I never sit in a bar, in a tavern anywhere in this country. I never take a bottle of whiskey and put it to my lips without seeing your face. It'll take root. You won't forget it. You won't forget it. And so if nobody believes it, I'm going to preach it. But how's, aren't you afraid if you preach like this, you'll lose your job? I'm afraid if I don't preach like this, I'll lose my commission from God Almighty and my charge. God didn't call me 37 years ago to keep a job. Also, I'm not going to quit. And by the way, a lot of you folks sitting out there tonight, I agree with everything I've said as it applies to me. And yet you sit there and entertain quitting every time some little discouragement comes your way. And you have no more right to quit than I do. Boy, you sat there tonight. Boy, I tell you, I like that kind of preaching. Yeah, and I like that kind of living, too. But you say, Brother Howe, it seems like I'm beating my head against a wall. Depends on what you're doing. It's fun to know you've done the right thing. I'll go to my office tonight and feel real good. Yeah. I won't worry about one of you folks that's frowning. Well, that gal that's shaking her head, you won't worry me. In fact, every shake adds 5 minutes to this sermon. Every shake. I'm not quitting. Why? Because I will have been faithful and I would have stood. My Bible says it's required of a good steward that he be found what? Faithful. My Bible says, having done all to what? Stand. Right. And I'm sort of nutty around town. I was on the airplane the other day. And sat down beside a fella, and I was working, and he was trying to find something to read. And I said, I got a Sports Illustrated here. Over here in this little pocket. If they want to read it, I gave it to him. Thank you. We had a nice conversation. He didn't know who I was. I know he was. Took off more half heel. We talked to each other, I guess, about an hour. And very nice man. Very nice man. I said, sir, he said, where do you live? You live in Oregon, where we're going? You live in Chicago, where we came from? I said, I live in Munster, Indiana. Hey, he said, I live in North Hammond. I said, what do you do for a living? He told me he has a good job over here, sort of a white-collar job, one of these big factories somewhere out here. I didn't tell him who I was. Later on, he said, what do you do for a living? We'd had a good time. We're enjoying each other. He said, what do you do for a living? And I said, I'm pastor of First Baptist Church in Hammond. You could hear the clashing of teeth. Oh, he was stunned. He was stunned. I'm sort of nutty. I'm fanatical. Yeah, and I'm a Baptist crowd, Bible toting crowd. Don't believe in Playgirl magazine. Yeah, yeah. Well, lay it down, finish it all. My Bible said that what I want to hear is well done, thou good and popular servant. Well done, thou good and kind servant. Well done, thou good and pussyfooting servant. Well done, thou good and said, faithful servant. That's it. And if I can't change you, I can still be faithful. If I can't make you believe me, I can still be faithful. So there are a lot of reasons, folks, why I preach what I preach besides you doing what I say. A lot of it. I mean, if you never do what I say, I still enjoy preaching what I preach. Because I know it's right. When the captain of our salvation died, he had been here 33 years. Are you listening? 33 years. When he died, the chairman of his board was cussing. And in 9, he belonged to Jesus. When he died, his treasurer was committing suicide, and his board had forsaken him and fled. When he died, only all that was left, a little handful of the WMS ladies, trying to comfort him. Would you say he was a failure? Nobody believed him. Nobody understood him. But he lodged truth, enough truth, in the hearts of 11 men. Even though they had forsaken him then, enough truth was lodged. And our Lord died without ever seeing them proclaim that truth. But when he was gone, enough truth was lodged in those 11 men's bosoms until those 11 men changed the course of human history with what our Savior preached. Jeremiah stood in the street and at the temple gate preaching. Nobody listened. Nobody listened. He said, "Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by, wagging your heads and hissing?" Nobody listened. Nobody listened. And when the judgment came on Jerusalem and Canaan, Palestine, Jeremiah wrote a little book called Lamentations as he saw people so wicked, they committed adultery in the streets. And as he saw a country judged by God so much that mothers were so hungry, they killed their little babies and cooked their own children and ate them. Nobody much listened to Jeremiah. But I'll guarantee you one thing. Old Jeremiah tonight in heaven is glad he stayed true. He's glad he stayed faithful. I made God 5 vows 35 years ago. Or 34 years ago. I made God a vow on my knees in East Texas, in a little pine thicket at 3 o'clock one morning, that I'd never preach for money. Nor would I ever make money an issue. I've never changed churches in these years without taking a cut in pay. Never have. Every church I've gone to has paid me less money than the church where I left was paying when I left. I made God a promise that nobody would mess with my preaching. I promised that nobody would tell me what to preach, where to preach, how long to preach. And I just double dog dare anybody in this room to mess with it. You'll be busier than a termite in a yo-yo, I'll guarantee you. I promised God 34 years ago at 2 o'clock one morning, I'd base my decisions on what I thought was right, not what I thought was convenient. And not how I thought it'd turn out. I promised God 34 years ago I'd be loyal to principles and not to institutions. I promised God 34 years ago I'd be a friend to my friends. If I can keep those promises, I may not can change you. I may not can put modest clothing upon you females. I may not can put haircuts on you men. I mean, I can keep you folks graduate from Hammond Baptist one day from having a beach party the next day. I mean, I can keep you from it. But I can make some of you listen. And I can wash my hands of your broken heart. And you'll come to see me later. And some of what I preach will take root and someday will help. And I will have been faithful. And so there are joys about preaching the truth, other than seeing kids turn out right. If I thought that never would be another teenager turn out right in First Baptist Church, and sometimes I wonder if there ever will be. And I want to say it again. I'll take the blame, part of it. And I think the Sunday school will take the blame, part of it. And I think the schools ought to take part of it. But I'll guarantee you one thing. I still believe the right kind of home can turn out good kids. And I still believe that the right kind of home, the wrong kind of school is better than the right kind of school, the wrong kind of home. But if I knew tonight that not one single teenager would ever live
what Brother House preaches, I would still enjoy preaching what I preach, because I will have washed my hands of your blood. And because I need it, because the road you're going down is a dead-end road, and you'll be coming back. I'll get you one place or the other. But the tragedy is that when you come back and I get you there, not much I can do but salvage what's left. Brother Hyle, she said, and she's probably here tonight. She said this week. She said it Friday night, I think it was, with a cute little girl beside her, 4 years old. Cute as could be. I got some sugar from her. She sat on my knee, a little four-year-old girl, just as sweet as could be. She had no frills on her dress that she could have had if her mommy had listened to Brother Howell's preaching years ago. She had no shiny little shoes on her feet that she could have had if her mommy had listened to Brother Howell's preaching years ago. She had no little curled hair that was the object of a little extra, maybe. One of the cutest smiles I ever saw. She got on my knee and we fell in love with each other just right off the bat. And over on the other sofa sat her mother. Her mother, who came to my office many times, and I begged her. I said, "Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Now listen to me. Nobody knows who this is. I'm not betraying, young lady. Nobody's going to know who it is." But there she sat in my study. She said, "Brother Hyle," she said, "since I have the little girl, I want to get her in Sunday school. I want to get her in church." And I said, "All right, I'll help you." She said, "Preacher, I don't have any money to pay the rent. Could I borrow some money to pay the rent? Only food we have is food." Listen to me now. Now, I want every teenager to hear me. This is one of the kids that would say hackers. It's one of you smart alecks. One of you dumb punks. She's the kind. Kind to say square. Yeah. Sat in my office. And I said, "All right, now, how's your life?" And she said, and I'm quoting, "I've given up everything but speed." And she said, "I want to give that up." And there sat that precious little four-year-old girl. And I thought, what would have happened if that young lady had listened to me? Husband's divorced her now. Only food they eat is what they get for food stamps. I had a few McDonald's coupons. Picked them up and gave them to the little girl. And I said, "Go to McDonald's and get you a hamburger and french fries and a milkshake." But I couldn't help but wonder what it would have been if her mother had listened to me. I'm glad she's back. I couldn't tell you how pleased I am. I'm always glad to see you come back. But I couldn't help but wonder if that young lady had listened to Brother Hyles. So someday she could tell that little child, "Mama never took a drink. Mama never smoked pot." I remember the first time that mother, she's a teenager here, first time she smoked pot and came to my office and I found out she smoked pot. And now she's a mother. Give anything in the world to get off of speed, but she can't do it. Can't do it. I wondered as she left the night, what would have happened if she'd listened to the preacher? What would have happened if she'd gone to Hiles Anderson College and graduated? I think she'd have met some fine young man who would have loved her. I think she'd got delivered from her habits. She could have cheered Brother Hiles when he comes to speak on chapel. She could have been part of the group that meets Brother Hiles occasionally when we have question and answer time. She could have shouted, "That's my preacher." Or she could have joined the young ladies in singing, "We love you, preacher. Oh, yes, we do. We don't love anyone as much as you. And when you're not with us, we're blue. Oh, preacher, we love you. She could have done that. But she didn't listen. Are you? Huh? Are you? I'm not quitting. Only way you'll get rid of my preaching is to walk out those doors and not come back anymore or me go on to heaven. I'm not quitting. I'm not quitting. If everybody in this church hates what I preach, I'm not quitting if every female in this church puts on her shorts. I'm not quitting if every deacon in this church takes up his cigarettes. I'm not quitting if everybody in this church watches the Hollywood movies on television. I'm not quitting. Why? Because I'm going to wash my hands of your blood. And because you need me when you come back. And because I've got to face God too. Father, bless the message. I pray that a few will get the idea. I pray tonight will be a life-changing night for some. For those who have been walking out of the service during the invitation time. Don't care whether people go to heaven or hell.